One thing I ask of you, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in your house, feel your presence fall over me. And I am confident of this one thing, that my eyes will be blessed when they gaze upon your beauty, and my lips will be sweet when they whisper words of praise, and my heart will be dancing when it knows that you are with me, when I will see your goodness in the land of the living. That's been rolling through my head for 2 weeks now as I've heard that psalm. And it's your very own. Ben Paisley wrote those words with Enter the Worship Circles with Robin. And just the song's just rolling over me. And so the question I have for you with that song now stuck in your head, now out of mine, what do you want to see? What do you want to see in the land of the living? We always have these phrases. Before I die, I want to see dot, dot, dot. The face of the Lord. What do you want to see? What else? What do you want to see in your lifetime? Route 66. All right. What else do you want to see? The Indians win the World Series. You've seen it once. What else? Praise the Lord. Lives transformed. What's that? Salvation for your family. Yeah. Yeah. Spiritual revival in the United States. Yeah. Reformation. I mean, there's so many things that we really say, but if you look at the heart of this particular scripture, it's saying, this is the one thing that I seek. This is David's heart, that I would dwell in your house. If we dwelt in the house of the Lord, if we really dwelt in the house of the Lord, it's right here. We don't have to go to Jerusalem. We don't have to come to St. Luke's. We don't have to be in a cathedral or in a cave somewhere. You know, it doesn't have to be religious or spiritual. It just has to be, what is the Holy Spirit doing in you? Because he has made you the tabernacle. He dwells in you. And we have to just get to a place where we can not just identify, but live into his presence. It's so important that we bathe in it, that it becomes sort of the air that we breathe. And that's what David's heart was, even though David screwed up royally. Literally royally. He was king after all. The Lord still had mercy on him. And so when we grieve in our lives, we grieve so many things because we didn't yet get to do our bucket list. Get me a bucket I want to throw up in that bucket list. Because we put so many expectations on this life. But when we get into God's presence, we realize that life is limitless. Our bodies are limited. They're going to deteriorate and go away. Our abilities are limited. They're going to deteriorate and grow away. Our minds are limited. They deteriorate and grow away. So let's all take a Prozac moment and get depressed. No. Because this is a continuum that we're on. And the Lord's power doesn't run out. It's not a battery that leaks. The Lord's power is limitless and it continues forever so that we might give him praise. We might be confident that when my eyes see him, they'll be blessed because he's so beautiful, that our lips will be sweet because the praise that pours forth is just like, I can't get enough, I want more. And that our hearts will dance. We'll dance in the fullness of God because they dance now, they'll dance then, they'll dance later, because we're going to dance in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. So we have to get this idea that is in this psalm You don't have to hang your head for any reason, little Israel. Don't hang your head down because you're just the least among the tribes that are coming against you in this pimple of a hill that we call Jerusalem. Because it wasn't really this mighty grandeur of a, you know, Mount Washington, hard to climb in your car because the wind will blow you off. You know, it was just Jerusalem. When you go, it's sort of in a valley almost. It's a hill and it's a city that's been built up there. But in the spiritual realm, it's so much more. And we'll get there because Paul talks about that wisdom that is beyond our understanding in the passage from Corinthians today. And I just sit here and I'm struck in this psalm by the words that just sort of jump off the page. Because we're in a place where if God is for us, no one can be against us. And that makes us a target, if you will. I'm not speaking a curse, but when you raise your head up for your enemies to see, you become a target. Anybody ever play paintball? You know that moment that head pops up above, you know, whatever it's hiding behind, boom! You know, you become a target. And yet the scripture here is saying there's a confidence and a fearlessness that comes with being a child of God that you don't have to worry. What is it that gets in the way then? What is it that really gets under our skin? Health, wealth, shame, fear, doubt. All of these things the enemy uses to manipulate us to say, oh, don't let anybody see me. Whereas the enemy, his head isn't raised because he is dead set with you in his radar. He knows how to push your buttons. He installed them. A long time he installed them. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You will never measure up to all of these other characteristics of your siblings. I'm the last of five. Let me tell you, the little brother syndrome played a huge game in my head. I was always the baby. Oh, that's just Daniel. I'm not buying anymore. It smells like smoke. That's the enemy trying to plant in me something that's just not true. My brothers and sisters, they had great gifts and talents and abilities. And yes, it is true. I may never measure up to those gifts and talents, but man, God has equipped me in a way that when I let him get in me and I get out of the way, he can move. Praise the Lord. So when we hear this story in the Old Testament today, we got to put it in context. I'll give you a little history lesson. There were good kings and bad kings in Israel, and this happens to be a time of a good king, Josiah. King Josiah, it was a time of prosperity. There was a confidence that happened for the people of God that wasn't always there. And that confidence allowed the people to get lazy. And what happened? They got so lazy that their worship, their focus on God, their being in the house of the Lord forever, their confidence in his great gifting to them was washed away by sex and drugs and rock and roll. Maybe not sex and drugs and rock and roll, okay? Rock and roll wasn't there yet, but it was some other version of music genre that was leading them to other pagan worship. And they were in a place where they just sort of let everything blend together. The economy was so good, it didn't really matter. And the thing that struck me in this Old Testament lesson, with all of those names, thank you very much, that was a tough passage. Well done. That time frame was such that what jumped out is they were surprised and excited about the discovery of the Word. What does that say about God's Word? They discovered the scrolls. They discovered the Word of God. They discovered what was probably they were referring to as the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. The temple had come under such desolation And at that point, if you could say, desecration, because it hadn't been used in a way that they hadn't heard the word for years. Even though Josiah is a good king, and even though they had lots of different people who were speaking nicely to the people of Israel, it was becoming what Israel often gets referred to today as a nationalistic religion. It's much more about the religion than it is about the God that led them today. And at that point in time, they had lost touch with the one who spoke his word, the law. And so when the law was read to Josiah, what did Josiah do? Well, wow, that's a good novel. No, he tore his clothes. He knew that he was in the presence of the living God because of the words that were written on the page that were read to him. And it washed in him in such a way that he was just like, I've lost my first love. I've let it get away from me. Jesus tells us last week, as we heard in the gospel, that we're going to be persecuted. Do you feel it? The gospel at that point in time wasn't really the gospel in the sense that Jesus had been revealed. But in the Old Testament, you look, the word of God was persecuted. But it's happening like drip, drip, drip. Our culture has a way of eroding things so quietly and so subtly and so purposefully that we forget that the word is lost and tucked away. That the Lord is lost and tucked away. And so Jesus says, blessed are those who are persecuted. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Blessed are you. You're going to be persecuted. Now that I told you, that I warned you, that the reality is what's going on right now, remember that you live in incredible times. Even though we think the world is persecuted, oh, it has never been this bad. I hate hearing that because it's so, if you just look at history, it's been this bad before. Yeah. So don't lose heart. We believe confidently in a God that can take on any economy, any dictator, any nuclear weapon, anything. God is the God of the universe. He can do anything. And there's so much human error in what we do, so we don't need to be afraid. He's not given you a spirit of fear, but of love and a power and a self-control. So take that self-control and put it into action. And that's what Jesus says. You are the salt of the world. If salt loses its saltiness, it has no purpose. Now you think, salt can't lose its saltiness. I'm a scientist, and I know that pure sodium chloride never changes. Well, that's not what they were talking about. Salt was used for so many things. It was used as a preservative. It was used to be able to keep meat fresh. It was used for roofs. Did you ever know that? When roofs were made in Israel, they would put a layer of logs and then a layer of leaves and a layer of clay or mud. Sometimes logs, clay or mud, leaves, clay or mud, and then salt. And the salt would cause that mud and those leaves to harden in such a way. And you know what salt feels like on your skin when you have one of those, you go to somebody's house who has one of those salinization things, and you go, you feel like you can never get the soap off. Have you ever had that happen? So salt leaves you feeling kind of slick. The water runs right off. Salt has more purposes than that. So when they were mining salt at that point in time, it wasn't pure sodium chloride. It was mixed with all sorts of other stuff, depending on where they mined it from. And sometimes you had sort of muddy salt. It lost its saltiness. And who wants to put dirt in their food? Nobody. And so Jesus is using an illustration that they knew. He said, listen, you are the salt of the world. He goes threefold. He goes, you are the salt of the world. You are a city on a hill. You are the light. Last week, Bishop John was here. John Miller, classmate of mine. If you can't see it, there's a matchstick here in my watch. I took it out for a little while because I've taped one of them to the front of my computer. But he said, you are the light of the world. You got to remember that. You got to put it to work. Remind yourself, you got a job to do today. And so Jesus was saying the very same thing. He said, listen, you are the salt of the world. Don't lose your saltiness. Don't let everything sort of drip, drip, drip erode you away so that you don't have influence. Let you be the spice of life.